someone who kiss me and held me closely, then stole my heart. Wanted someone I trusted, who gave no warning that we'd ever part. She was last seen hiding out in someone's arms. He knew nothing of the danger in her charms. A jury may find her guilty, but I'd forgive her if I could see a signed confession that she's repented and really wanted. Kiss me and held me closely, then stole my heart. Wanted someone I trusted, who gave no warning that we'd ever part. She was last seen hiding out in someone's arms. He knew nothing of the danger in her charms. A jury may find her guilty, but I'll forgive her if I could see a signed confession that she'd repented and really wanted no one but me.
Sheer audio perfection there, as we've often said, when we actually are privileged to actually play some marvellous PJ Proby numbers. And yes, as promised, we're delighted to be able to welcome live to the production now the fabulous, amazingly talented, humongously legendary PJ Proby. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
Delighted to touch base with your good self today. And congratulations, first and foremost, for being inducted finally into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame earlier this year.
Isn't that funny? That's all down to a friend of mine who I haven't even met yet, who sent me some country western songs to, he wrote to record, and I'm doing a whole album. He's so good, and he lives in Georgia, and very near my brother, and he's an incredible, incredible talent, but I haven't met him yet. His name is Lynn Butler, and Lynn was very instrumental in getting me into that.
Well, it's richly deserved and far too long overdue. So well done.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
I mean, literally, the fact that you've been known as the man with a thousand voices, a whole range of things. I mean, your career, I mean, I can't believe it. On a day in which we've been commemorating the 100th anniversary of Albert Einstein coming up with his general theory of relativity, and on a more somber note, obviously, the 100th anniversary of the start of the Battle of the Somme, it's good to know that back in the 60s, you managed to electrify the whole range of things. Actually, it would be part, really, of a whole musical revolution.
Well, I don't know about that, but if I had anything to do with it, thank you.
Well, as a result,
I was just going along, singing my song. That's about it.
Oh, you say that. I mean, literally, just from, share with the listener, if they're not aware, obviously, your connections with Elvis Presley, the fact that Paul McCartney introduced you to the whole thing. I mean, you have literally kind of impacted on legends across the place, really.
Well, thank you very much. I was just living out what the cards that were dealt me. You know, I met Elvis when I was like 13, 14, something like that, and he was 18. And we were singing at beer bars in Houston, Texas, me and him and Tommy Sands, and he started dating my sister Betty, and then lost touch until I graduated from high school at 17, and I went out to Hollywood because Tommy Sands had gone out there, and he was carving a career in motion pictures for himself. And so when I got there in 57, Elvis was just getting drafted, and Tommy was I called Tommy, and he said he was really busy doing pictures with Annette Funicello and everything, and all these beach pictures. And so he advised me to go up to a vocal coach for MGM, Lillian Goodman. And so I went up there, and I auditioned, and she accepted me. And she introduced me to Ray Gilbert, who a songwriter, wrote Zippity Doo Dah and all the music for Song of the South, which he got an Oscar for. And Ray signed me as management, and he took me down the street to above the Brown Derby to a group called Gaby Lutz Heller and Loeb, and they became my agents. They had Liberace, K-Star, Johnny Ray, and I was too young to sign a contract, so they had to send for my father. He had just dropped me off, but a week later he had to come back and sign the contracts for me. And so that was my start in Hollywood and everything. And I was working doing demonstration records, and a guy called Ben Wiseman heard me I think doing an Elvis number or something like that, and he hired me to do his demos for he was writing the music for motion pictures that Elvis was doing, starting with Kid Galahad and all that. So I started doing the demos for the motion pictures for Ben Wiseman. And so I'd do the records in the morning, and then they'd be sent up to Elvis in the late afternoon, then Elvis would learn them and take them in the studio the next day and do them. And I started dating one of Elvis's girlfriends, Dottie Harmony, after he was taken into the Army. She went to the draft board with him, and I was engaged to Dottie, and Elvis came out of the Army after 3 years, and I was playing on the football. I'd had a football scholarship in American football at the University of Missouri, and I was playing on Ricky Nelson's team, and I didn't have any money. My father had cut me off and everything, and so I was barefooted and everything, but I was playing for Ricky Nelson's team, and every time Elvis would pass to Red West or Sonny West, one of his tall ends and everything, I would just snatch the ball out of the air and run for a touchdown for Ricky Nelson's team, and Elvis couldn't understand it. He couldn't remember knowing me from when I was 13 and everything, and being at the house and having dinner at the house. He couldn't remember, and he said, "Watch a barefoot boy. Watch a barefoot boy. Who is that boy anyway? Where have I seen that boy before? Watch that barefoot boy."
It's fantastic. And looking at the list of musicians that you actually worked with, I mean, we've got Glenn Campbell, Billy Swan, Marshall Leeb, Larry Taylor, Hal Blaine, bass player. I mean, it's as I say, quite literally a rock and roll hall of fame, and a kind of magic that's around in terms of that. I mean, PJ, presumably you didn't realise just at the time just how much of a resonance through popular culture your work was going to have, really.
No, well, see, we were all had just gotten to Hollywood in 57. And none of us, we were all working as demo musicians. Glenn Campbell was working on as a guitar player for all the demos that I ever recorded, and all of my records he was guitar player on. I never knew Glenn sang. I thought he just played the guitar. And Leon Russell, I never knew he sang. And David Gates, my bass player, I never knew he sang. And Hal Blaine, I don't think ever did sing. He played the drums.
And still does, I think. So it was great.
Yeah,
great stuff
and I didn't realize that any of them sung. They did sing behind me because Al Bennett wouldn't give me a girl chorus or any backing singers to sing behind me on my records. So the boys, we would all get together and do different harmonies and sound like the girls. But I never knew the boys actually sung individually until I'd come over here to England and gone back to do Shindig. Mm. And here on Shindig was Glenn, and on another couple of the TV shows I did in L.A., and I said, Glenn, what are you doing on all these shows that I'm doing? He said, I'm singing my record. I said, singing? I said, what record? He said, Wichita Lineman. I said, good Lord, man, that's you?
Yeah, there we are.
And I didn't know that.
He was the lineman on the county. That's the classical thing on that basis.
That's right.
1963, of course, you were introduced by Sharon Sheely to English producer Jack Good. And, of course, we can break up the whole notion of Brian Epstein's UK special, Around the Beatles.
That's right.
Which kind of brings us nicely to that special transatlantic relationship, PJ.
That's right. Jack brought me over here, and Paul McCartney introduced me to the world. Mm. And Mary Whitehouse tore it all apart.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
She tore down everything that Paul built.
Look, at the end of the day, if trousers will actually split, they will split. Let's just go there.
If I'd have been wearing Levi's, they would have split with the type of act I did, sliding across the splintered floor of stages and everything.
Certainly in terms of the whole sort of sequence, I mean, apart from the fact that obviously Tom Jones then took your place, it was one of those areas where, to use the line at the time, you know, this he must be banned, he's obscene, and we'll ban him, is ridiculous. You know, it's farcical.
No, but see, the whole story hasn't been told, and it's just about to be told in Beat Magazine. I'm writing it right now. I'm only writing part of it. When it comes to the Cilla Black tour, where that starts, I'm leaving it up to the man who just informed me of what really happened, and he only informed me about 2 or 3 years ago. I was never on the tour in the first place. Tom's manager had gone on when the tour was being put together, and paid Joe Collins, Joan Collins' father, who was producing the show, me and the Cilla Black tour, to throw me off and put Tom on. Hmm. Well, the Bernard Delphont, the Delphonts and the Grades were standing there, and Mary Whitehouse. And the Grade said, no, you can't do that. PJ's already an established artist here. Tom has just got one record out with no following. Said, you can't do that. You can't throw Proby off. We've got no reason, we've got no way to tell the public why we've getting rid of him. And Mary Whitehouse chimed in and said, don't worry. Said, he's an American and he will do something to get in my bad books, in my morals committee. So they said, well, if you can find a way to get him off the tour for a reason that the public would accept, okay. So the money exchanged hands. Tom was bought on to the tour, but I went ahead and did it. I didn't know all this had happened until Big Patty, a minder that was a minder in those days for me and Tom Jones, who had worked for the Craze, came up and told me that he was there when the money exchanged hands, and he saw the money exchange hands from Tom's manager to Joe Collins. So I had been thrown off the tour before anything happened, and when the pants split across the knees, that was enough for Mary Whitehouse to use the word obscene. And when she used the word obscene, that was enough for the public to say, well, if he's obscene, he must go.
Unbelievable.
And I mean, that's how Tom took my place.
PJ, we finally managed to set the record straight. I mean, it was bad enough television producers only being instructed to, or telling their camera people they could only actually shoot Elvis Presley from above the hips.
Yeah, I remember that well.
Exactly.
The Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah. Outrageous. PJ, the great news is, of course, that the tour dates have been announced, and indeed you can go to pjproby.net, go-to site for all wonderful goodness. The 2016 60s Gold Tour is happening. I feel we need to just take a minute, a slight break, if that's okay, a little musical break. So we can offer you two fantastic, in fact, a choice of three, really. We can go for Something Else, I Walk the Line, or Burning Love. Which one of those would you like to actually have?
Burning Love.
Do you know, excellent choice. Stay with us, back with you in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising. It's burning through to my soul. Girl, 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 you're gonna set me on fire. My brain is dreaming, I don't know which way to go. Cause your kisses lift me higher, like the sweet sound of the choir. You know you like my raw desire with your burning love. Oh, oh, oh. I feel my temperature rising. Heavy, I'm flaming. I must be 109. Burning, burning, burning. And nothing can cool me. I guess my turning to smoke. I'm about to feel it is fine. Because your kisses lift me higher. Like the sweet sound of the choir. You know you like my desire with your burning love. With your burning love. It's coming closer. The flames are licking my body. Girl, won't you help me? I feel like I'm slipping away. It's hard to breathe, and all in my chest is a heaving. Lord have mercy, I'm burning a hole where I lay. Cause your kisses lift me higher, like the sweet sound of the choir. You know you like my raw desire with your burning love. With your burning love. With your burning love. With your burning love. We got a huckle-huckle-burning 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 love. Burning love. We got a huckle-huckle-burning love. We got a huckle-huckle-burning love. Sing it, girls!
Frankly, electrifying. Absolutely electrifying. No, PJ, I don't think that the citizens of Reading, Chatham, Southend, Ipswich, Cambridge, and other parts of the United Kingdom will know what's hit them. It was fantastic.
Well, thank you very much.
Genuinely really outstanding stuff from that point of view, and just proving the magic is still there. We've been kind of commenting recently on the 50th anniversary of the Monkees TV series, which, of course, the surviving folk, Mickey DeLenz and Peter Tork, and Mike Nesmith have been getting together, producing some new stuff. But that was, I mean, Elvis would have been proud to have actually done a version of Burning Love.
I think Elvis would have liked that.
Yeah, yeah.
He liked He likes speeded up versions of everything.
Well, exactly. Of course, this particular tour, you share the billing with Gary Puckett, Wayne Fontana, The Searchers, Brian Poole and The Tremolos. Again, there's the sort of magic that comes through that perspective. And as I said earlier, I think the whole UK tour, September, October and November, taking you up and down the country in all sorts of ways, from Cardiff through Newcastle, Sage Gateshead, Bristol, Plymouth, etc. Pretty intense tour, I would say, but, you know, nonetheless, there's something special about keeping music live.
Oh, yeah, well, we don't know any other way. We aren't digital people. We don't, we didn't come from today when it's digital and the engineers do everything for you. We came up having to do it all for ourselves, and it's still like that.
PJ Proby, there's no auto-tune there, it can be said.
No, I don't. I still don't. To this, as I speak to you, I don't really know what auto-tune means.
No.
I don't know how it works.
It's some computerized way of trying to get, trying to create a silk purse out of a sow's ear, but failing in every sense. The bottom line. Ask Simon Cowell, he might know.
He probably invented it.
Exactly. I mean, PJ, we're delighted you're actually in Britain. I mean, in terms of crossing over between the whole sort of sequences, this particular tour, what did you think when you signed up for the whole sort of system and you said, okay, fine, we'll go with it? Because that live music, as we said, it is something special, really.
Well, I've been doing the Solid Gold Tour since they started. My manager used to be Robert Pratt. Who has Jerry Marsden. And so Jerry has cut his work schedule down, his workload down a bit now.
Indeed, yeah.
So I'm using the pacemakers more.
Yeah.
And of course, I've known everybody on this tour like I was raised with them for 52 years.
Indeed.
Except for Gary Puckett, and I can't wait to meet Gary, because I'm a great fan of his voice.
And the Union Gap, of course. But
well, I don't know about the Union Gap, because I don't think the Union Gap over here doesn't have anything to do with Gary Puckett.
No, but after the recent sort of Brexit vote, who knows what could happen. But still, that's
exactly.
It's a political thing which we won't go into this stage. PJ, it's been genuinely delight touching base with your good self. I think, musically speaking, I'm always starting to say we should go out with your good version of Tell Laura I Love Her, because that ties in with Laura Levi, who, of course, set up this interview, as well as always acknowledging that side of things. Alternatively, we could go for Stand By Me, another classic, Something Else, Mona Lisa. They're all great. I mean, there's just so much good stuff to actually work through for that. We haven't even had a chance to speak about your time with Van Morrison as well. And
Van, I've known Van for 52 years. We're close buddies.
Which is, I've got two final questions to put to you. Of course, a reminder, of course, you can go to pjproby.net to actually find out the tour details and all the rest of its pieces. It's Solid Gold 60s Tour, unmissable, and genuinely an essential prize for any autumnal treats that are actually in store. But PJ, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today? Has it been okay for you?
Yes, I've enjoyed it very much.
So, could we prevail upon your good self? I mean, there's a wealth. I mean, there's a whole series as well as obviously upcoming movies, etc. Would you be kind enough to join us again in the very near future and keep us appraised of the life and times of PJ Proby, singer extraordinaire?
Anytime. You just give me a ring.
Oh, geez. A round of applause in every sense of the word. PJ Proby, we salute you.
Thank you very much. Same to y'all.
Together tonight, I got some money in my jeans and I'm really gonna spend it right. Well, I've been doing my homework all the week long. Now the house is empty and the folks are gone. Woo! Come on, everybody! Number one, but I'm gonna dance with three or four. I am the house of bees shaking from the bare feet of slapping on the floor. Well, when you hear the music, well, you can't stand still. Your brother won't rock, but your sister will. Woo! Come on, everybody! Woo!
put a guard outside. And if the folks come home, I'm afraid they're gonna have my hide. Well, there'll be no more movies for a week or two. No more running with the usual crew.
Who cares?
Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Tommy and Laura were lovers. He wanted to give her everything. Flowers, presents, but most of all, a wedding ring. He saw a sign for a stock car race. $1,000 prize it read. He couldn't get Laura on the phone. So to her mother, Tommy said, tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I need her. Tell Laura I may be late. I've something to do that cannot wait. He drove his car to the racing ground. He was the youngest driver there. The crowd roared as they started to race. Round the track they drove at a deadly pace. No one knows what happened that day, how his car overturned in flames. But as they pulled him from the twisted wreck, with his dying breath they heard him say, tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I need her. Tell Laura not to cry. My love for her will never die. Now in the chapel where Laura prays for her Tommy who passed away, it was just for Laura that he lived and died. All alone in the chapel, she can hear him cry. Tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I need her. Tell Laura not to cry. My love for her will never die. Tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I
love. Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick. Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 or visit our website, rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.